Hello and welcome to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters. Day 255. How are we all doing? Yes, I was first in the chat. This was because somebody who shall remain nameless, but he's called Mike, left work at 4 o'clock. Obviously working from home, but you know, packed up 4 o'clock. Came in, started chatting, and then suddenly said, got a work meeting at 5:30. What? So he toddled off for a work meeting, which meant he opened the chat up very, very early. So I snuck in. And then straight into a webinar. He will be with us shortly. Hello, Simon. Hello, Jonathan. I was too early. Can I just say, sometimes you guys sit there and you put stuff in at lunchtime. Honestly, it wasn't that early. Hello, Mrs. Simon. How is Simon, Mrs. Simon, and all of the assorted baby Simons? Who else have we got? Ah, CQ, CQ, Deb. And hello, Paul. I saw on the BBC that Australia was having a ball. That things were opening up and relaxing restrictions all over the place. While we've got Boris organising Christmas. Okay, we're going to leave that there because there aren't enough panda videos in the world to calm me down. Right. Ah, good. The Simons are all doing okay. Apart from the fact I don't remember seeing daylight, I have been beyond the garden path once this year. To the front hedge to cut it. That's it. That's as far as I've been. Things are doing well down under. Would that they were doing so well here. At least today, I'll go as far as this. When Boris was banging on about, and we're, you know, apparently you can't catch COVID over Christmas. Who knew? We could all meet up for 5 days. And then I got the small print and it was like, oh. And it's a three household bubble. So if you've got two kids and they're both married with families or old enough to have families, you know what I mean? That's your household. And then one of the children, second household, the other child, third household. What if the partner stroke, whatever, of your children also have parents? Because apparently bubbles can't be extended. This is getting so confusing. And then anyway, we all have to pack up after that. So what are you getting for Christmas? COVID, by the look of it. It's all right. We don't have anybody in our bubble. We are bubbled with Kim and Kiva. They kindly took us into their bubble. It's the safest bubble on the planet because they're in Seattle. But you know what? It works. We're just being very, very cautious. So that's the COVID situation. I actually managed, because I don't know how Mike does it. When Mike used to be at work, you know, 20 years ago, pre-mobile phones, pre-internet, on demand, every second of every day. If something happened, I was charged with ringing him and letting him know. So 15 years ago today, I had to let him know George Best had died. So today, obviously, he's got internet wall to wall and backups of backups of backups and his phone in his hand, his watch on his wrist. So I'm sitting here minding my own business. My watch buzzes and I thought, well, hang on a minute. I've nuked out all the notifications on there. But no, an Apple Mail notification managed to sneak in to say Maradona was dead. And I thought, last I heard, he was having a slight operation and it was absolutely fine. He'd be absolutely fine after it. It was a simple procedure. So the doctor said, this is why we give doctors a wide berth. So I shouts down to him, that's bad news, isn't it? He went, what is? I said, about Maradona. What about Maradona? I thought, oh, he's not seen it. I said, he's dead. So he said, good grief. So no, he hadn't seen that one. He'd managed to miss that. I said to him, is it too soon for a hand of God joke? Apparently not. So what's going on with you guys? Still no kit ordered here. But, you know, if you're going to order it and it's Wednesday and there's a deal on Good Friday, you might as well wait till Friday. What else has been going on? I don't like to tempt fate, so I'm not actually going to say it. But the machine is running. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying any more than that. And has been for more than a day. Obviously, it's not going to live to fight another day because it's very, very poorly. What have I had software-wise? Oh, don't you hate it when an app is released and they've tweaked the shortcuts? Now, I don't mind them tweaking the shortcuts. Oh, did I say Good Friday? I meant Black Friday. Whatever. It's a Good Friday if there's a reduction on Apple prices. What I've got in my mind is I read an article that said all of this will be over by Easter. I'm presuming they mean next year. But then I looked back and when it all started in March, they said it'll be sorted by Easter, which if you remember was the 12th of April. It wasn't. Then it was, oh, it could be a really, really hard 12 weeks, which took us to June. It'll be fine in the summer, they said. It wasn't. Then it was, it'll be fine in the autumn, they said. It wasn't. But we were assured Christmas was a shoo-in. It would be absolutely fine. It's not. Now they're saying, with the vaccines and everything, it'll be fine by Easter. That's why Good Friday's in my mind. But yes, I hope it is a Good Friday. We already know what the deals are. We just need to work out exactly how you get them and how long the vouchery thing lasts. To be honest, like I've said a couple of shows ago, I'd much rather just have a reduction and be done with it. But we'll see how all of that goes. Yes, shortcuts. Shortcuts drive me mad. I do use the shortcuts. I use lots of shortcuts, not just inside an application, but also global shortcuts within macOS. And I make a whole range of extra shortcuts. And they fall into two categories. Either I make a shortcut within an application for it to do something that it doesn't already do, or to match another application. So, case in point. In PowerPoint, you use a different shortcut to start the presentation. But I've used Keynote for 14 years and I keep using the Keynote one. So I can map that shortcut key only within PowerPoint to do what it does in Keynote. And that's fine. I'm happy with that. There's also some global shortcuts that you have. And one of those is Command, Control and N. And when you're in the Finder, it makes a new Finder a new folder in that Finder window. And I use that all the time. So imagine my abject horror when I did it and I'm looking and the folder's not there. And I'm like, is this not working? Is the keyboard not working? What's wrong with the computer? And then I glanced up at the screen and I actually had Evernote running. That new used to be Evernote app that's appalling. That one got no features. But one of the features they have added is the ability to make a quick note in Evernote, and they've allocated the shortcut key Command, Control and N. And I'm thinking, but that's a system level shortcut key, you can't do that. But they have. And as if that isn't bad enough, you can't change it. So I thought, well, that's fine, I'll just close Evernote down. So that one was that one dealt with. But the other one was the one I was saying to you the other day. I could not get the chat up in Vivaldi. And I'm pressing the shortcut key, which in Vivaldi is Command Option and P, which brings up the sidebar. And on some pages it was working and on some pages it wasn't. And I'm like, what is going on? And I didn't have time to fix it. But apparently I've twigged what it is. And this one's even more innocuous. And I only twigged because I'm thinking I need to fix that shortcut key. But I'm looking at today's show details in Notion. And you remember we went through the fact you could customise the properties? Well, I've done that. So there are eight properties that are hidden. So not a problem. They are hidden. I'm using the shortcut key, Command, Option and P, to bring up the sidebar. Nothing happening. And then as I glance at the other half of the screen, because obviously I'm looking at where the sidebar would be and thinking it's not there. It's not happening. When I look back at Notion, Notion has hijacked that shortcut key. And what it does is it toggles the hidden properties on and off. Nowhere in the release notes did they say they'd done that. I'm sure we did a show, something like Don't Mess With My Toot Toot. And what I meant was don't mess with my workflow. Now I've had to allocate a different shortcut key to the sidebar and then remember that that's the one for the sidebar, but that the other shortcuts that I have that were also Command and Option are now Command and Control. They're playing with my mind. They are playing with my mind, and that's not good. It's not good. And Deb's having just as much trouble as us. Hello, Anthony. Talk with the brain. They couldn't get it through their heads that in share the choice of brain box is there. They went on and on, just said copy and paste it. And I said, why do I pay you extra for the clipper? And one of its basic functions is just to copy and paste. This is what I said about developers. I swear developers 20 years ago had more pride in their work than they do now. They seem to have swallowed the Agile handbook now. And one of those principles is ship early, ship often and break it. Which is fine unless you're actually trying to use it. And then, yeah, not quite so good. I mean, I know the problem you were having with the Notion Clipper. And I had had problems with the Things Clipper. That these things just disappear. The new widgets in Notion, which are amazing, aren't appearing on all the devices. So I'm firefighting that as well. Oh, I do hanker for the days when things did actually work. And I know, looking back, we didn't get updates as frequently as we do now. But we would have got an update really quickly if they'd broken something. And now it's like, nah, yeah, that's broken. We'll sort that out at some point. I remember about 18 months, 2 years ago, Apple brought out a new version of Keynote and everything was fine. This feature was not a feature that I particularly use that often. But I had decided, I think I'd had two emails, and it was because I'd mentioned branching in presentations. And I got these two emails, which was, can you show us that? So I put it down to show in a show. When I sat down and I looked at the list, I thought, right, that's fairly simple. And I had a file that demonstrated it. It was like an interactive adventure that you would make for a child. So I just opened Keynote, created a new file, put a thing in, said, you know, navigate to this slide, put a button on it, navigate there, navigate there. And it didn't work. And I'm like, have they changed how this works? I could not get this working. So then I had to do the Googles because I'm thinking, this is definitely the way you did it. And if they've changed it, then, you know, it should be noted somewhere. I then found somebody screaming about it, just like I would be. They broke it in an update. It took them 9 weeks to get the fix out. So in the interim, the only thing you could do was, if you happened to have a machine you had not updated, you could open the file in the older version of Keynote, and it would allow you to make these links, but you couldn't use the new version for over 2 months. Apple clearly don't care or don't think that that's an important feature. But you know, it's a feature that's important enough to put it in the application, just not important enough to make sure that it actually works on a regular basis. Oh, so annoying. Hello, Pete. Do these app developers think no one uses other shortcuts other than their own? Exactly, Paul. I mean, to hijack a Mac OS shortcut key, and that application Evernote is available in the App Store. And I would have thought Apple would clamp down on that. Because basically, an app developer could hide some nefarious code in their app. And only if they got Death Wish, obviously, because Apple would not be pleased. But they could hide some code in their app, attach it to a global shortcut key, hijacking one of the Apple ones, and then some unsuspecting person uses the shortcut key they've used for the last 10 years, and something else happens. So I wouldn't have thought Apple would allow that. But I just think that's just shoddy. And the thing is, this new Evernote app, as you know from when we covered it, they've rewritten it from the bottom up. But it's basically a wrapper around a web app. And what they're trying to do is add back the features that they had in the app that's now deprecated, things like shortcut keys and audio recording, by putting it in the wrapper as and when. So at the moment, there's no preferences. You cannot stop it doing it. So the only thing I can do is actually not have Evernote open, which, you know, that's no great hardship. But it's annoying if it is. I mean, Notion is my app, so And it runs in a browser, so I don't have to worry about them. You know, if they do something with a Notion app, whatever, I'll just run it in a browser. But that is criminal. Because now, with it running, I can't possibly use the Finder, which is pretty fundamental. I thought exactly like you. Do they not? If I don't expect them to work out every shortcut key from every other application, but system level shortcut keys, stay away from them. Stay away from them. Especially if in your application you've decided to rewrite it and you've ripped the preferences out. So you're overwriting somebody's system and they can't do a thing about it. So just close Evernote and everything was fine. There you go. Right, let me... this chat's moving here. Let me grab hold of it. Right, where are we? The alternative to updates, just getting on with things and everything working, as opposed to constantly waiting for rushed updates to be fixed. That's how it used to work, wasn't it? You got an application, and if there was something fundamentally broken with it, they would rush out a fix for that, but they would not try sideloading three new features and just see if they worked. They would fix it. And you might have to wait for new features, but at least when the new features arrive, they tended to be a little bit more stable than they are now. It just feels like sloppy programming now. Name a feature since Sierra that was worth updating for. Oh, Simon. Quiz of the week. Are we talking Mac OS? No, can't be done. Can't be done. Biggles is driving me insane. I didn't like when, I can't remember which one brought it in, the notification center icon. I wasn't a huge fan of the notification center icon because I couldn't get rid of it. And when I'm doing videos, that means I've got to cover it up. Then they enabled Bartender to control it. So at that point, that was a little bit better. But in Biggles, you've now got two icons instead of one, which seems nonsensical to me. It's taken up more space. But no, I agree with you. There is nothing that's mission critical that they've added. No, it's just a lot of tweaks, isn't it? You only say Sierra because you can't remember what came before. The only one I felt compelled to upgrade to, Simon, is exactly the thing with Biggles, which was the one that introduced the flat interface. Was it Mavericks? The one where we lost the kind of 3D aqua stuff, the buttons in the corner in particular, and it went very flat. If I don't have that operating system and I'm recording videos, then I'm going to have to re-record those videos way sooner than I would do if I just use the latest OS. So that's one of the things that I put on, you know, I upgraded for. Mike mentioned when he moved from... He was way behind me. I think he was on Sierra. I think he high Sierra'd in the end. But he pointed out that one of the things, and I hadn't noticed, was when you use the spacebar to preview a file, I think it was a video file. And he said, oh, you can play it. And I thought, you could always play it. And he said, no, that they've added. So there's like a pause button on it and stuff. I thought, is there? I'd not really noticed. I agree with you. I look at my machines now, and I the other day I had to check on two of them what OS they were running, because they all look the same apart from Biggles. So be it going back to LCAP, they all look the same. So I did have to check twice. So I agree with you. There's nothing that's absolutely revolutionary. Most of the time with Apple, it's a fake kind of panic to update. One of the things it told me about was, and I think this was Catalina, I inadvertently opened the Notes app. I was typing something else, but it opened the Apple Notes app. And it said, you need to upgrade, to use this, you need to upgrade your notes store. I thought, right, this is the Apple Notes one. And if you do, you will need to update the following devices. And obviously, it's all the Macs and all the iPads and the phones. And I looked and I thought, no, I won't bother. Because that's a fake thing. They want you to update your operating system. So if they hold your notes hijack, then you're going to have to do it. And some of the machines couldn't be updated to the version that was needed, so you'll lose access to your notes for no good reason at all. That's an obsolescence that Apple force upon you. Not that it needs to be obsolete. Right. I sent you off to watch a video. Oh, Deb, this is going on, isn't it? Wow. It was exactly what I'd said. It's not there. One very angry scene. This was 101 and part of the primary function. Snotogram sent. Oh, excellent. Excellent. That's the other thing with support these days. I don't know whether they put in charge of support like the youngest people, the newest people on the team, the least experienced, are only saving graces. They seem to be so stupid. Thank God they're not coding it. You explain everything. This is the problem. This is what I've done to try and rectify it. You know, and this was what I was like with when we were with Be There, which was our ISP. You know, this is happening. This is what I've done. I've tested this, and this. And they come back and honest to God, they would say, have you turned it off and on again? And because the support was coming from the other side of Belarus, it was 48-hour turnaround for every ticket. That was why I put in everything that I'd done, because in the interim, I've got no internet and I'm surviving on a phone. It's infuriating. You are basically doing their job for them. You are not only, you feel like you're beta testing applications, but you're also like troubleshooting the applications and actually sending them back on a plate information that they should just be able to run with and fix the thing. And they just don't seem to be able to. It's totally infuriating. Years ago, I was testing the alpha. So we're not even talking the beta here. This was early development of OmniFocus. And I had this issue and I could force this issue. From memory, it was something to do with you put text in and it didn't wrap correctly. And then it was a visual glitch, but it was a repeatable glitch. So I put together a support ticket, not really support ticket, more of a feedback, you know, I'm on the alpha, blah, blah, blah. And I said, this is what you do. So I put in this, there wasn't a form to fill in. It was an email that I wrote. So I put what the problem was when I was experiencing it, what version it was in, how to replicate it, and what I thought should happen. And I put headings in like that. And then I put the information underneath and sent it off. Didn't expect anything back. Because it was an alpha. So I thought they'll get loads of feedback. So I'm not expecting anything back. I got this email back from Ken Case, who is like the CEO of the Omni Group. And he said, thank you for that. We've been able to replicate it. We fixed it. It'll be fixed in the next version, the next alpha. He said, and can I just say that's the best support request ticket, you know, best bug report I've ever seen. You know, we were able to just action that within seconds because wow. I'm like, well, I do that all the time because I know what it's like. I know what information I would want if I was trying to fix it. There was this exam once called 70-100. All Microsoft exams were numbered. And 70-100 was a nightmare of an exam. Mike just did not want to know. He did not want to touch it. It was analysing requirements. So it sounds quite innocuous. But the exam itself, you had 3 hours. There weren't that many questions. There might only be 20 questions. And you're thinking, really? I've done 100 questions in an hour and a half on some exams. Why are there only 20 in 3 hours? Because you had to digest 20 pages of requirements. You know, you're at a meeting and one customer says that and the other says that. And then somebody comes in and says it needs to do this. And then the questions are a real deep dive on what you should do with that and how you should formulate it. This 70-100 has like a failure rate of 98%. Because only the best can take in that amount of information and turn it into something useful. But when you're a user and you use that application day in, day out, and everything's second nature to you, you could probably pass this 70-100. It's the developers that struggle because they're not users. They really don't know. They're making a guess as to how it should work. I said this to Mike. We'd built some Notion tables and dashboards, and at this stage that I built, which one is it? It's my primary dashboard. I put on it what I thought I'd need. I thought, right, you know, you've got the projects and these are the areas. And then I put the meetings over there. All the things that I was accessing on a regular basis. And I put them on this dashboard. Started using the dashboard. Doesn't work. I know it's what I think I use. But when you actually come to use it, you think, no, I would go to that as a dedicated thing. So that should be over there. You have to use it to know what it should look like. And that's why we schedule every quarter. Let's go back, look at Notion, see what's working and see what isn't, and just rearrange everything. Because actually using it is the only way that you know what should be there. Your first build will be what you think you need. And I guarantee it won't be what you need. You'll just think it's what you need. Pete, update issues. Pete's only had the new printer having issues. Ooh. An optional fun event with work. Attendance is compulsory. Oh, Jonathan. Sounds like a lot of Mike stuff. Printers, Pete, are spawn of the devil. They are spawn of the devil. If I never see another one, it'll be too soon. Mike, there was a guy we met via church. He looked after one of the other churches that eventually closed down, and he had this printer. It was relatively new. It was way more modern than anything we'd got. It had a whole little digital dial on the front and Wi-Fi and all kinds of stuff. If we got one support call about this flaming printer, it was like if you left it alone for 2 seconds, it didn't want to know. Printers are a nightmare. Having said that, I did get the one at the church, which is the size of a small house. Honestly, comparison wise, if you think of a photocopier and multiply it by four, that's the size of this thing. And I'm talking an old style photocopier. We're not talking something that sits on the desk. This thing needs a room of its own. It's about the size of our bathroom. And I got my iPad to connect to it and print. I remember sitting there thinking, this will never work, you know, air print, it'll never work. And I couldn't air print to it. That was the one thing it didn't support. So what I had to do was IP print to it. So I had to piggyback on the network while I was at it. So I thought it's worth a go. And the only time I could set it up was when I was actually sat in the church because I needed to be on their Wi-Fi. And I'm sitting there with everything. Never work. Presses the print button. In the corner, this thing started whirring up. It sounded like an angry bear. And a piece of A4 was spat out with the right stuff on it. And I'm like, whoa, didn't expect that. Never expected the printer to work. And it was great, that, because it meant we didn't have to log into the church computer and pull a file down from the cloud to actually print it. But printers, nightmare. If I never see one again, too soon. Deb's getting ready to do the hard reset. Along with the iPad kicking you out, going black and taking you back to the home screen. Oh, you are not having a good time of it, are you? You are not. Thing is, have you noticed? One piece of kit starts acting up and so do all the rest. It's so annoying. Name the best 3 macOS system updates of the past 10 years. Snow Leopard. Without hesitation, Simon, Snow Leopard. It was everything Leopard promised to be and more, and it was stable. Snow Leopard. Loved it. The one that came after was Lion. Just don't go there. No, Snow Leopard. Never used handoff. Oh, God, Pete, no. Not handoff. No, I had to turn it off. The keyboard stopped working. There was a Bluetooth handoff glitch. Mike's computer didn't have it. Mine did. And the glitch was, and to track it down was a nightmare, but I did in the end. All of a sudden, my keyboard would just stop responding. And I'm sat here with it, you know, typing, nothing happening. And you're like, there's no indication there's anything wrong. And it could be anything up to 20 minutes later, it would spring back to life. And I'm like to Mike, I can't work like this. And it was the most infuriating thing I think I've ever had wrong with my Mac. And in the end, it was like, okay, so it's a Bluetooth thing with handoff with this and this. But if you turn something off, and I think it was handoff at system preference level, it stopped doing it. So I just turned it off. And it's turned off to this day. I can't risk the fact that the keyboard stops responding for 20 minutes. Life's too short. I haven't got the time. It's a nightmare. The one thing that does work, everything rings at the same time. Oh, the multiple tabs should have been there years ago. I don't like all my kit ringing at the same time. I must admit, I don't. No, there was one good thing. I think it happened with yes, it's in Catalina. And I didn't Catalina for so long, I'd forgotten that it was there. And I thought, well, I won't be using it anyway. Sidecar. Sidecar. Call it sidecar, side. The one where you can send it to an iPad. That does actually work. That totally threw me that it actually works. And it's seamless. Apart from the fact that I use an application called Resolutionator to manage the resolutions of my Mac. The main Retina Mac is fine. It's at Retina level, unless I'm doing a webinar or a recording, in which case it's at 1600 by 900. Which through complicated mathematics, I can turn into 4K if I want to, which is exactly what I do. But the two side monitors, I actually take them beyond what they can officially do. And my two side monitors are both 27 inch, but they're set the same resolution as the Retina one in the middle. So they match. And when I do this sidecar thing, you know, send it to an iPad to give me a little bit more room in live sessions, etc., it resets the size of the two side monitors. Apart from that, it would be actually pretty good. So I can't see me using that unless I'm absolutely desperate, but it does work. It's just the way I've got my two monitors set up. Hello, Tracy! Instagram Live of the Thermomix Christmas recipes. That sounds fabulous. Have I actually watched the iTrick Tea Crowd? Oh, Simon, I did. Couldn't stop laughing. Have you turned it off and on again? Oh, I love that. That was absolutely brilliant. You've only seen a few episodes. Oh, you need to see the whole lot, Pete. What made me laugh was I think it's one episode or two, and the guy who's actually in charge of the entire company, because they're in the basement, is a guy called Guy Henry. An actor called Guy Henry, and he's in Holby. Now, I haven't seen that many episodes. Stopped watching Holby when George Irving left, who was Anton Mayer, after whom the dog was named. But I believe his character in Holby is very similar to Mayer. So they brought him in basically to be like Mayer 2.0. And when I saw him in the IT Crowd, I'm just laughing because I'm thinking it's like seeing Anton Mayer in charge of the IT Crowd. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. Deb Starger continues. And then he suggested I download the beta for the PC desktop, which had nothing to do with the iOS version. They are Muppets. And that is unkind to Muppets. I don't know whether they're trying to fob you off. When I'm dealing with stuff like that, I'm like, are they just trying to distract me? Or do they think that I am actually stupid enough to think that that's going to have any impact on the iOS version? And I do wonder, particularly being a woman, because every time we go in somewhere, I mean, it started years ago. When the first time that was? Probably the mid-90s. You know, when you're going into like PC World and you're looking for something. And Mike will admit, he is amazing with Excel. He knows it inside out. But hardware, less so. He can tell, you know, a PC from a Mac. But hardware, he will leave to me. So we goes in and it's always like, yes, sir, no, sir. And Mike just looks at him and sort of shakes his head sadly. And he will say, talk to her. I don't know what you're talking about. She's the expert. They can't seem to compute that. There's a book called Everyday Sexism. And I must admit, I'm like, I know you can be put in sexist positions. You know, somebody makes a comment or whatever, but I don't really take that much notice of it. You'd have to be really rude to me for me to take any kind of offence at all. Because if you treat me as like a stupid dolly bird, as we would say in the 70s, that tells me more about you than it does me. So I do not get overly excited about that. And I certainly wouldn't be wasting my time reading the book. What am I going to know at the end of it? Men can be sexist. Yeah, and so can women. So I've not even read the book either. But this business of going into a tech shop and them talking to me, I mean, don't forget here, we go in and I say, you know, hello, I'm looking for X, Y and Z. And they turn round and they talk to Mike. Now, that is everyday sexism. But the look on his face is just priceless, because he's thinking two things. One, I haven't got a clue what you're talking about. And the second thing is, at some point, she is going to tear you a new one. And I'm just going to stand here and watch. And you can see that written all over his face. But I do wonder, when you send a support ticket in, whether they think the same, whether they are prejudging you. I do wonder about that, because some of the suggestions I get back, and I just write back with, well, that's not going to work because of X, Y, and Z, and this and this and this and this, and you've not considered that. And then all of a sudden, you know, I send the mail, and when I get the reply, I think, when that landed, you sat up a bit straighter in your chair, didn't you? I wish we could stop it, but, you know, it's still happening now. And I actually did pull this guy up about it. We went in the Apple store and I was in the market. It was when the AirPods second version came out. I was in the market for some AirPods. So we went to the Trafford Centre store. And the plan was, because we didn't have much time, we'd finish work, go to the Trafford Centre to pick up these things. And then we'd have dinner out. We'd go to... instead of Bramley Farm, which is the other side, that's heading off to Cheshire, we'd go to this other one that's of the same group, and it's near the Trafford Centre. So we get to the Trafford Centre, and I spoke. Now it's like there's somebody greeting you at the door, like a bouncer. So I got past him, and he said, go over there. And then you get one of these assistants, and then he said, I'll send so-and-so over. So, you know, you're third hand by the time somebody appears, with... the little put your credit card in there kind of thing, but I was using Apple Pay, so it didn't make a difference. And by this stage, Mike stood next to me, I'm there, and he wanders over, this guy, and he was, I think he was the assistant manager, and it was something to do with they were a bit short-staffed. So the assistant manager toddles over and says, as bold as brass, to Mike, I believe you're looking for some AirPods. Now, it was me that had said to the guy at the door, it was me that had talked to the first guy, but he just wandered up and assumed it was Mike's. Well, Mike just looked at him with this look that says, she's going to tear you a new one and I'm going to stand and watch. So I let him dig himself a big enough hole. And Mike said, actually, no. And the guy just looked at him as though, oh, was it something else you wanted? I said, that would be me that was after the AirPods. And he looked, I went, yes, everyday sexism. Shocking in Apple, isn't it? And he didn't know what to do. The look on his face. Yeah, he apologised. But I mean, that it's like, it's a bias that they're not even aware of, clearly, until it's pointed out to them. And I don't like standing there and saying, you're being sexist, because it sounds so whiny. So I made a joke of it, but I just thought, you know, yet again, do you realise to what degree you are showing yourself up, you muppet? So, yeah, I pulled him up on that one because I knew he could take it. Oh, dear, dear, dear. Oh, I'm being transferred around bath time. Excellent. Oh, Anthony's watching the entire series of the IT Crowd. You will love that. You will love that. Printer's working. Now, see? Spawn of the devil. Works when it feels like it. At least on the computer with the old OS, we'll try the iPhone, iPad. If it doesn't work, have you got Printopia, Pete? Printopia's so forgiving. It would probably print on a tablet of stone left alone. Printopia's worth every penny. Funny, because it's true. Exactly. The IT Crowd is. I know they take it a little bit, you know, off into lunacy. But to be honest, it is fairly accurate. I would say 98% accurate. Oh, Pete can just imagine me taking someone off at the knees. Trained lawyer and tech guru. Pete, I'm going to make a note of that line. You may want to sit down. It's not going to end well for you. Well, first off, there's the look. And at the weekend on Brooklyn's By Request, Nina and Mike, that's Nina and Chidge, our best buddies, we went to loads of events together. And these events are geographically quite close. Obviously, Brooklyn's events for Brooklyn Scotinians tend to be within sort of 5 miles. But the province, which is a little bit of a bigger area, tends to probably be about 25, 30 mile radius. So we would go to these events together. And if somebody had a good event because they had a good entertainer, then somebody else within the region, when they're having their night, would hire the same entertainer. And honestly, for about 7 events, we got this guy called Kenny. Now, he's an entertainer. He does a bit of singing in terms of what I would say an old style crooner, you know, full suit and everything. But after that, after the meal, then he will put a bit of a disco on for a bit of a bop. But when he's doing the crooning bit, he is just creepy. I cannot understand, given the Me Too climate, why he thinks it's a good idea to walk behind each lady and put his arm around her shoulder. I cannot handle that. Do not touch me. No, it sounds weird. Do not touch me. You are in my space. My space was always 2 metres. Forever, it's been 2 metres. And Kenny would sidle over like a snake. And Mike would look at him and like, no, mate, don't. No, no, don't. And I apparently, according to Nina, have this look on my face, which also says, don't even think about it. Don't let it pass through your mind. Just don't. And the thing is, he never picks up on it. I don't know how you can be an entertainer and not clock the people to leave alone. But he doesn't. So the first time he ambled over and he got to within about 4 feet. And I thought, he isn't going to stop here. So I just turned away completely. But even 7 times on, he doesn't get the hint. So we were talking on Saturday about, because the theme on Saturday was ladies' nights. So Nina actually put in, she said, I cannot believe he hasn't got the message. She said, because the look you gave him could freeze hell. And he still didn't notice. So that's the look. That's the look, Pete, that goes with it. Tracy never identifies herself with a full name in support. And what's more, even if I did, apparently, your Christian name can be a male in America. Ah, genius, Tracy. What I started doing, and I started getting a lot of traction with that, was in my signature, if I'm sending it via email, in my signature, I put my full name, but I put underneath the fact that I'm the host and producer of Mac Bites podcast, which is like, do not give me the runaround or I will diss you publicly. And that seems to work as well, funnily enough. Hello.
Hello.
You're back.
Yeah.
We've lost Johnny. He's disappeared.
Oh.
Do read back about Jonathan tomorrow. They've got a fun event planned. It's compulsory. Aren't those two sentiments mutually exclusive? They are in my mind. Oh, I'm loving that one, Tracy. Pete hasn't got Printopia, but you have Printer Pro by Riedel. Ah, that's very similar. I would say Printer Pro will do it from the iPad end. Printopia has a bit that you install on the computer and will translate between your device that has AirPrint and a printer that does not have AirPrint. So I use both of those. And yeah, Printer Pro is great. I wish they'd do something about that icon, though. It's looked like that for ages. Maybe they could sort that out. A compulsory fun session of something.
An optional event attendance is compulsory.
I had one of those when I was working. Do you remember? I was working for that solicitors up the road. There was a fee earners meeting. Now, a fee earner, in a solicitors, you've got people who are needed to do things like HR, wages, secretaries, etc. They're not fee earners. They are an expense to the business. They don't generate revenue. Fee earners are the ones who generate the revenue. So it'll be the partners, the solicitors, the legal executives, clerks, like that. So there was this fee earners meeting and it started at 5:30. And I thought, oh, well, fair enough. But I wasn't one personally for staying at work beyond 5:30 for whatever the circumstances. I would for clients, but not for my colleagues. So we're having this fee earners meeting, he said. Now, it didn't happen often. I think I'd been there about 4 or 5 months when this fee earners meeting happened. And people were going in with like boxes hidden in bags. And I'm like, what's happening? It's a meeting, you know, 30 minutes. 9:30 at night. And what they'd smuggled in was food and drinks I'm thinking, God, I should have brought a blanket. And it wasn't as though it was, it wasn't an organised meeting that you felt like you got something out of or that, that it was worth doing. It was just one of these rambling, it didn't have an agenda and no one was in charge kind of things. I refused to go to the second one. I said, just send me the memo of what happened.
We've got one next week.
Is this a team meeting?
It's a team workshop.
Oh, God, a workshop. The last time Mike went on a workshop, he got to play in Teletubbyland room.
Yeah, this is
sure to explain that.
We've got, on our Macclesfield site, a room which is called the Pavilion, which has got fake grass in it.
Teletubbyland. So what's this meeting going to be? Is it going to be an unorganised free-for-all?
I don't know. No.
Oh, you've seen the Magic Words spreadsheet, haven't you?
I've seen pivot table.
And you've gone. Can you tell? His mouth's going slower because his brain's going faster.
No, my brain's going slower. My mouth's not going at all. Can I create a table that sums expenses by category without having to write all the categories out individually? So if there's only 50 categories, but only used, it will create a table with 10 lines rather than 50.
Well, where are the 50 categories?
Yeah.
Is it a drop down? Where are the 50 categories
coming
from?
That's what I'm thinking.
I would expect that to be in a graveyard sheet.
If you want to send me a copy of the spreadsheet and you know, change the data, because obviously it's financial, so it's confidential, feel free, just so I can see how you've laid it out. So make something up, Pete, and stick it in Slack in a private message.
That's reminding me of when I did work for that company,
because depending on how it's laid out, you could apply a filter, but it depends on how it's laid out. So if you want to do that, then I can advise.
It can be done, can't it?
Yeah, it can be done.
It can be done, but it depends on how it's...
Categories inserted as text from a CSV export. Yeah, do that, Pete. I'll look at it for you. Not a problem.
He just loves his spreadsheets, don't you? I remember getting spreadsheets from my boss, and it was his finances, and he wanted it put in Quicken, do you remember?
Yeah.
So we put it in Quicken, and I said, you know, if this is going to be on the network, you could do with a password. So we sorted a password out between us. And I said, you pick the password because you're the one that's going to be using it. Now, I would say it was back in the day before ultra high, you know, highly strong passwords, but it wasn't bad. Anyway, I left and he was not pleased that I left. How many phone calls did I get from the accountant asking for the password?
Loads.
And I was on holiday, so I said, you know, he'll have to wait. And then when I finally did speak to them, because, you know, rule number one, well, actually, rule number one is fingers Kenny, isn't it? Don't touch me. Rule number two is don't ring me. I don't know what it is with the phone. I don't deal with the phone. And of course, this accountant was ringing. He must have left about 40 odd messages by the time I got back here. And I thought, I'm not dealing with it on holiday. So when I finally spoke to him, it was one of his secretaries. And I said, no, I need to speak to him. It's about confidential financial information. I can't give this password out to anybody but him. So I got on the phone talking to him. So I said, right, this password, is that what you need? Is that all you need? Do you have everything else that you need? And he's like, well, yes. Sort of, I just need the password. I said, I'm making sure. I said, because once I give you this password, I do not want to hear from you or anybody from your company ever again. So this is your one and only chance. Is there anything else you need? And he was quite taken aback.
Mm.
You're back to the fact that people seem to think these days, like the sloppy programmers, that communication is so easy and it's so fast that they don't have to think through, first of all, what they need, because they can always call you back. But that's disrupting you 2, 3, 4 times over. He did actually have to stop and think and say, well, just a minute, because I said, I will not be taking any more calls. I will block the numbers. So it's make your mind up time. Make sure you've got everything you need. And it really did throw him. But to me, it's like, I would never ring anybody and not know exactly what I needed, because it's respectful of their time. But people don't seem to do that the other way around with me. I'll ring you once, I'll ring you twice, I'll send you 47 emails. This is why they get thrown in the bin. I've not got time to deal with that. And at the moment, have you noticed with your mail as well? I had 35 emails in the spam in a day, which is unheard of. I usually only get about two or three. Mm. I'm guessing it's because of Black Friday. Oh, you've got a story, haven't you?
Have I?
Yes, about the Amazon con. No names, no pack drill. But oh, there is a con out there of which you need to be apprised and careful of.
Yeah, somebody I know got a phone call. Now, they'd actually bought something on Amazon the day before and they were offered Amazon Prime and they said no because they don't want Amazon Prime. And then the next day they got a phone call and basically it was a scam.
Well, they tried cancelling it, didn't they? They rang Amazon.
Yeah, they tried cancelling it and then they got a phone call back and they basically... you know, hacked into their computer and the cursor froze and everything froze and it was a scam. I don't think they've actually lost any money or anything. But
it's like a ransomware.
Yeah.
The computer's now infected.
They probably put something on it, haven't they? Mm. And it was like, he rang his computer consultant mate who runs a shop, but it's closed because of COVID.
Come on, how's she get it fixed?
And his mate said, oh, we get loads of these. Yeah, we'll sort it out for you. We know what to do.
Do you know what I find?
So the two batteries that cost about £2.50 is going to cost him about £100 in computer repair.
Yeah, but you see, if you didn't take phone calls, that wouldn't happen.
Mm.
So I thank God every day we got rid of the phones. It was a bit of a wrench, to be honest, because my mum's number we'd had since the day we moved in, you know, and I associated with it, I'll ring mum. But, you know, we did a cost-benefit analysis on it and there were three phone lines coming in and there was the internet on this one when it was on a, you know, standard phone line and that there was a fax thing that, you know, who uses a fax these days? And yes, I had one, it was my business number, but again, I don't really need that. So we analysed it and it worked out over £1,000, didn't it?
Yeah.
For the three in a year. So we just binned the lot and now that goes towards the internet. But you don't have people ringing you because if somebody rings my phone and I don't know who it is, it doesn't ring. What's that setting called?
DND.
No, it's not DND. It's don't ring unless the person's in your contact list. Yeah. So you know you've had a call, but only when you pick the phone up. But if somebody's calling me from a withheld number, I don't want to hear from them, whoever they are. If you're not in my contact, I don't want to hear from you.
Unless it was Peter.
Hmm?
Peter Callahan used to ring.
Yeah, if it was Peter, that was all right. Yeah. But now Peter's no longer with us. No one will be ringing me on that number. Trust me, no one. So I don't really get notified. And when I listen to it, I listened to one that sounded, you know, they left a message. And it sounded fairly reasonable. So I checked it and I thought, no, I know it's not genuine, but, you know, that does sound fairly reasonable. That. So I mentioned it to you, a number from, and it was something like Peterborough or somewhere. Mike went, oh, I had that this morning. Was it about such and such? I went, that's the one. He said, yeah, it's a scam. So I really don't take much notice.
No.
But I can only imagine how terrifying it is for somebody who doesn't know to get a phone call to the house when they've had an Amazon order talking about their Amazon order.
Yeah.
This is why Amazon don't have my phone number. It's a nightmare out there. It's dangerous.
That one Anthony's put about our technical director fell. One of our directors fell for Microsoft technical support scam. Yeah, I think my mother would now say. Oh, my son does all that.
Oh, God. Unknown caller reject. That's the one, Simon, that. If I don't know who you are, you're not getting through. Which is how it should be.
Have I got that?
Yeah. It's in the settings of the phone.
Is it not on?
It's not on by default.
I didn't know about that.
Oh, now Mike's got a new toy.
Why did I know about that?
That might solve your problem.
Is it under phone?
It's under phone as far as I know. Let's have a look. I found it while I was in there trying to hide my number. Because if I make a phone call,
Silence unknown callers.
That's the one.
Oh.
Yeah, silence unknown callers.
Calls from unknown numbers will be silenced.
Yep.
Sent to voicemail and displayed on the recent list. I think I'll switch that on.
You see, he's found a toy. When we do your DND this year, we'll have to add that one in.
Yeah.
That's really useful for me because it means I can leave my phone on and then I only get butt dialed by the priest, don't I? Because most people know if you want to get in touch with me, send me a text or an email, preferably an email, you know, because that's how I work. I remember Nina rang once and she said, I'll never ring again. She said you were like, what? Yep. because I'm on the phone and I don't do the phone that often. And then she had a technical problem with a printer, And I rang her and she's like, well, actually, Chidge said, good God, is that Elaine? She can use a phone. And I just thought it'd be quicker to talk her through it. So I talked her through downloading this app that lets you lay things out properly before you print them. So it acts as like an interpreter between the application you're using and the printer you're using to make sure that you get something that is the size you want. And she was printing out photos to be framed and they had to be spot on. And she said, I've already printed out 5 and none of them are right. And he's going mad because you're using paper and ink. So I said, just buy this app. It's 99p, Nina. Just use that. And she gets back to me about 3 hours later. And she went, perfect. Easy to use. Perfect. Love it. Well, thank God for that. So she sorted out. Oh, Mrs. Pete wants to know if he's listening to the other woman in his life.
Your Pete's other woman.
A lady. Like all your ladies.
Yeah.
Like Wendy is to you, Mike.
Yes, Wendy.
The lovely Wendy. Mike's used to it, Pete. Don't worry about it. What number do Amazon contact if they have a delivery problem and you aren't in under the non-COVID thing? The one that you give them on the individual order, Tracy. Because when you send something to somebody else, so we've sent gifts to Kath and Kaz, we put their address in and their name on it. But if they've got a problem delivering it, you have a choice which number you put in. It could be their number, so they can deal with it. But if it's a gift and it's a surprise, you don't particularly want them to know. Or you can put your own in, but you actually specify it at the point of order, and it can be any number you want.
Anyway, Bendy Wendy's got my number.
Oh, Bendy Wendy, notice this.
I've got Bendy Wendy's.
Oh! And Mrs. Simon
actually, I haven't.
Have you not?
No.
Oh.
Because I never added it to my contacts.
It would have been your previous calls.
Yeah, but then I'd have to know when she rang me.
Oh, that's true. Mm. Well, you'll have to add her because otherwise the phone won't ring because you've just said to silence unknown callers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Might have to rethink that delivery time, Mike. Yeah. But when she rings you, you need to add that. Put it under Wendy.
Yeah, because last week it was Arthur.
Did you not want Arthur's number?
No, I didn't want Arthur's number.
Do you remember that one a few months back where you were running up the street after him because of the salted caramel ice creams? And then you said, oh, hang on, I've got his number.
Yeah, he didn't have them.
What we'll do is, luckily for you, because you wouldn't remember, would you? Is it on the delivery sheet who the delivery was?
Don't know.
Well, luckily, every time Wendy's been in the last few weeks, I've put a slide in the show with the date underneath it so we can work backwards. Oh, Pete could do with that app, producing an anaesthetic chart, which is a folded A3 booklet, but publishers exported as an A4 front and an A... A4 front and an A3 double back. Ah,
oh, Pete's wife's lovely. In as Pete's wife.
Way, Mrs. Pete. Hello. Right, let me find the name of that app, Pete. It's a really good one, that. Where did I put it? Probably in my settings. There we go. Print to size. It is called Print to Size. It's a tiny little thing, but so useful. Now, this is from iOS. Print to Size iOS app. I did demo it. Mike can find it. Off your toddle, Mike. Let's see if you can do that.
What's it called?
Print to Size.
With a 2.
Just let me check. Oh, it's gone up by a pound. It's Print to Size. No, it's TO. 3 words. And I'll put it in there. She's killing herself laughing. As long as you're enjoying yourself, Mrs. Pete. You need to take advantage
after
of these moments.
After hours 76.
There you go. And after hours 76 when I did a demo of it. So it works on the phone. It works on an iPad. And basically, the problem that every application has is that it prints stuff out, but it gets resized on the way out because you have no control over it. And what this application does is give you a canvas of a set size. So say 10 by 8. And you can put either one image or more images on that. And the print that you will get off it will be 10 by 8. So if you wanted some passport photos, you can put 6 copies of the same photo on that thing and they would be the right size. It's a good app. It's a very good app. Definitely one worth having. I wouldn't say you would use it every day, but when you need it, to have it there and, you know, have had a play with it so you know how it works, will benefit you. I wouldn't say I use it that often. But where it's absolutely essential, these were the days, obviously don't do it now, but when I did, if you were going to somewhere like Tesco or Asda to have something printed and you're going to use your phone to connect to their system, you can configure that on your phone and print it to a JPEG and then transfer that JPEG and that will be the exact right size as well. Because one of the problems we had was our photos didn't match their cropping, did they?
No.
So it was really trial and error. We ended up like printing out 5 copies of this photo, thinking, no, it's too close that way. We need to move it the other way. And you're kind of moving it blind. Whereas this creates a canvas of the right size and then you put your stuff on it. So it's worth a try. I don't think there's a Mac version. I'm just having a look to see why there's 2 things listed, but they're both going to the same place. So I don't think there is a Mac version, which is silly. There should be. It's just as complicated on a Mac, as was proved with Tracy's debacle. Managed to get the whole thing done, everything fine and dandy, apart from the fact that it printed out a colour thing in black and white on Windows. No! I thought of you, Tracy, actually, the other day, when I previewed, you know when you, in the Finder, you have a file highlighted, you press the space bar. I previewed this PowerPoint file I'd created for After Hours. And it was in black and white. And I looked at it and I thought, don't tell me it's corrupt. No. And then I opened it and it was fine. It's just previewing in black and white. There's something for you to research, Mike. Why am I getting black and white previews of PowerPoint files? Because that one, that's just a background. It's not actually anything inside PowerPoint, so it should just be like a photo. But still getting it in black and white. Lucky me. Lucky, lucky, lucky me. There's something else for me to fix. But at the moment, nothing else broken. Obviously, there will be in the next 5 minutes. But at the moment, and I'm still leaving Affinity Designer open because every time I open it, it crashes the machine. So now I've got it open. I'm leaving it open. You just got to remember not to close it. Any more fun shenanigans at the moment? Only Scrivener last night when it went weird. You know, with those 2 black bars at the side. Where did they come from? No idea. But they disappeared. And that's fine by me. On account of the fact, I've got a bit of a demo in Scrivener on Friday. It's the behind the scenes of the Advent promotion. So I'm in there at the moment making sure, you know when you're using a file and you are kind of blinkered blind to the garbage and detritus that has accumulated in it over the last 5 years, that I've gone in and thought, why did I put that there? What's that doing in there? And I'm sharing the file on Friday. So it's tidy now. It's tidy. I had a folder called Archive and then realised what I was actually putting in it was the retired stuff. So now that's called retired. So I'm busy reorganising that. I swear you should do this on a quarterly basis, you know. Because once you're using it, it's like Notion. Once you're using it, you think, oh, that should be there and that should be there. Like, for instance, one of the things that I created was I've got in it a formatting guide, a style guide to what the mail should look like. And it's in text. It's written. So, you know, it starts off with a heading 1 and then there's a heading 2 and the images should be this size and the highlighting is that style. And I looked at it and I read the whole thing and I thought, are you a muppet? Why don't you just take a screenshot and annotate it? So I've now taken a screenshot and annotated it. Taking my own medicine here, aren't I good? But you will get to see that on Friday if you join us live in After Hours when we're going to have a ball, aren't we, Mike?
We are.
We are. Because it's 1 week nearer to Mike's holiday. 4 glorious weeks off at Christmas.
Laughable holiday.
No, not this year, Mike, because we don't have to do anything. We're not going anywhere. We're not going to church, even though they're open. You notice they're open? Yep, not happening. Because I do not want COVID for Christmas or any other time. So, and we've not got any obligations like the concert and the raffle ticket selling and the delivery of the hamper and all the other million things. We start off usually with our holiday of we've got 4 weeks off, and then we cross off the evenings we can't do this, and the raffle, and you end up with 20 minutes on one Thursday, and that's your holiday. Not this year. Even your mother was obliging, wasn't she?
True.
But we have arranged, we're going to have a Christmas meal via Zoom, which I think's a good idea.
Mm.
That'll be fun. That'll be fun. We'll take some photos. Oh, and she got to see Lola, won't she?
Yeah.
Lola can have some as well. Is she having her own turkey this year?
Don't know.
She's a spoilt girl. She is. In fact, we've actually got a gift on the way tomorrow, haven't we?
Mm.
So as long as we intercept it before she does, it'll be a nice surprise for her. But if she gets there first, then obviously she'll know about it. Pete's enjoying Notion a lot. Latest project is updating all mandatory training requirements, links and documentation to make sure you're not caught out. Excellent. Worrying how much MT there is for 36 courses. And have you done them all, or are you in charge of them all? Wow. And are you sharing it with them? Are you keeping training records in there, or is there another system for that? I know someone who was doing that. I'm trying to think now what the courses were. No, I can't remember. Well, I'm revisiting Notion from a perspective of building it from the bottom up again. Not particularly for me. There's too much stuff in there. But, you know, like if I was building it now, knowing what I didn't know when I built it 2 years ago, which was when we built it. Pete's done some of them. Excellent. Do you know, I can't stop learning. I just love new stuff and seeing how I can implement that with what I've already got. So at the moment, I've got two systems in Notion that I'm seriously contemplating merging into one. And the only issue with that is the metadata. If you take records out of table one and you put them in table two, the records from table one retain the metadata, but you can't see it unless you put it back into table one. So if you do move some records with meta from table one to table two, and in the future you may want to view that metadata, don't delete table one, because you would have to have somewhere to put them back into to actually see the metadata. I'm hoping one day they allow you to merge tables, either in a query as a temporary merge, where I just want to query, maybe I have a table per year for the last 5 years and I want a consolidated result set. Or on a permanent basis where you import into from table one to table two and the meta goes with it, particularly if the two tables have exactly the same structure. I have had it where sometimes a little bit of metadata comes in, but not all of it. So it's a little bit hit and miss, unfortunately. But that would be a nice update. But we haven't got the API yet, so let's wait until we've got the API and then maybe we'll be able to do some magic with that. We will see. You need to go through DevonThink and Notion together to see how to best manage documents. What I would say with that is, Pete, if you're uploading a document into Notion as a kind of reference, just so it's there, and you associate like document one with course one, document two with course two, and so forth, as a reference just for you to look at it, that'll work. But if you're trying to create some kind of library, and let me just open this other thing that I've got open. I'm going to be doing a demo of this, but I'm not going to be doing the demo until the 11th. So it's 2 weeks off yet. But I can tell you what it is. Every week we have slides on After Hours, and they up to now have lived in Keynote. Now they're in PowerPoint. But obviously, to get access to those presentations, I would need to open the file. So here's the workflow problem. I know that I've talked about something, or you know, I can see in my mind's eye, oh yes, I had some slides for that. So let's say the GTD system, which was a good few weeks ago. I had some slides somewhere for the GTD system. Which episode were they in? Now, actually, the GTD section was part of the DevonThink thing. So to find it, you've got to remember it was DevonThink and then work backwards and get a show number. And once I've got the show number, I can go to iCloud and open up the Keynote file. And hopefully it's the right one. And there are the slides. I could put the presentation, the actual Keynote file, in there. But that wouldn't actually give me much benefit. I would still not be able to find it too well. So what I did was I exported all of the slides as graphics and then put them in there so I can go to any show and quickly see the slides. But if I wanted to use the images that I've uploaded to Notion, there is no way to easily download them. So in that circumstance, DevonThink is where they should be. But to quickly see them, I've also put them in Notion, but I would have them in two places because I know Notion is the place to view them and DevonThink is the place to use them. So that's why I would have done it that way. So what Pete's done is to create a load of meta for dates completed, qualification span, projected re-qualification dates, and the files are just the completed certificates for the last course. Depends whether you need to, if this is per person or if it's in a batch of certificates, it depends how you would want to access that information. But given that the information, like the certificates themselves, you wouldn't want to change metadata in two places, but the actual certificates themselves, if you ever need to handle them in a batch, then put them in DevonThink. Personally speaking, I would put them in Notion as well, because if you're looking at them for either one person or something like that, you can see it in there and you can see it quickly. But to handle them as a batch, DevonThink's the way to go. I will talk more about that on the 11th. If you think of anything else around that, let me know, Pete, because I can cover it on the 11th. It doesn't make a difference knowing what I'm doing in 2 weeks. Mm. I usually don't know what I'm doing in 5 minutes. Never mind 2 weeks. But at the moment, it's all alarmingly organised. Long may it stay alarmingly organised. Right, but for the moment, we're going to say goodnight to you. And tomorrow's not even Friday. I'm ahead of myself. This is what happens when I get organised, isn't it? Mm. I think it's Thursday because I've done so much this week. But it's not. Don't panic. It's Wednesday. But we will be back with you tomorrow on Thursday night. So for the moment, it's good night from me.
And good night from me.
And we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.